Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, February 26th, One Take Wednesday. I can't believe we're almost at the end of February. Unbelievable. In today's readings, we are going to read Psalm 51, which is David's prayer of repentance after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Then we'll go over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, where Peter tries to convince Jesus that he doesn't need to go to the cross. And because it's the 26th day, we'll read from the Proverbs, Wisdom for Our Day. Let us begin by reviewing our memory passage. Do you remember what the passage is? Matthew 5, 44. Remember, it's quite a doozy. Starts with the word but. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Psalm 51 is for the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And now from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, starting in verse 21, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You have not had in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. For what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. When Jesus tells Peter to get behind me, Satan, why do you think he's using such strong language? If we look back at verse 23, it says this, Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter's words echo Satan's temptation back in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, offering him a way to avoid suffering by taking an easier route to kingship. And when Peter is objecting to Jesus' prediction of his suffering and death, Peter inadvertently is doing this very same thing. And so Jesus is not literally calling Peter Satan, but he is exposing Peter's mindset that it is aligned with the enemy's strategy that opposes God's will. And they're seemingly good intentions, right? Peter's like, oh, no, you don't have to die. But this is human-centered thinking. And God said, no, I'm coming to the world to become human. And I'm going to be a king, but it's not going to be a king in the way that you think. In fact, I'm going to be robed and crowned with a thorny crown, and I'm going to die on your behalf and be raised 3 days later. From the Proverbs today, we're in Proverbs chapter 26, and I'll be reading verse 12. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Lots of challenging passages for us today. We started with remembering that God calls us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Then we turn to the Psalms, and with David, we confess to the Lord that we want him to create in us a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in us. We identify with Peter in that oftentimes we have human concerns. Lord, we pray that you would turn our mindset into one that is kingdom focused. And then finally, in the Proverbs, help us, Lord, not to be wise in our own eyes, but to have our hope set on you. As we end today, I want to pray several prayers from the Divine Hours, which is a prayer book by Phyllis Tickle. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant me so to hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that I may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of eternal life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Almighty, everlasting Father, you have brought me in safety to this new day. Preserve me with your mighty power, that I may not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity, and in all I do, direct me to the fulfilling of your purpose. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.